admired, followed, respected, worshipped, and adored. Feared, slandered, betrayed, mocked, beaten, and crucified. One life lived to its extremes, one life so very, very human. And yet, one life so infused with divine grace that at the apex of extreme pain and suffering, Jesus looked down from the cross, where his life was dripping away, to lessen the grief for those he loved most dearly, his mother and his friend. He gives them to each other and forges a new relationship which will carry them both through the bleakest of losses. In so doing, Jesus is already beginning the work of resurrection, destroying the power of death by countering it with the boundless power of love. Love which will show itself in new relationships and in the ending of the power of evil to define us. What grace, what wonder, what love. But how do we do it? One thing for the Son of God to do all of that, but another thing for us. Just as surely as Jesus did, we move between the worlds of being respected and being betrayed. Between the worlds of being admired and being mocked. Between the worlds of being adored and being beaten. We experience deep pain and feel the tentacles of evil that grasp at our souls. How do we reach the place where we can love in the midst of such pain? In another account of Jesus' crucifixion, he says from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done." Forgiveness is the bridge between death and life, between deep pain and deep love, between alienation and relationship. It's a narrow bridge, one that's difficult to navigate. It's easy to slip off the bridge of forgiveness or ignore that path absolutely, completely. Most of the time, staying on the path of pain and despair, resentment and blame somehow feels easier and more secure. Perhaps that's it. We just know it better. But Jesus calls to his mother and his friend and to our souls from the cross because he recognizes us. He recognizes that when we interact with others, we can never really know what we've done. We cannot truly know how deeply a simple word of care can heal and foster a relationship. Nor can we fully know how an action or sharp word touches something deeply painful in another's life. Even when we intentionally try to hurt, we cannot know the full effect on the other. Not knowing does not excuse us, but rather makes us even more responsible for both the giving and the receiving of forgiveness. Good Friday is bleak and dark and painful because it brings us up short with our own pain. Forgiveness isn't about minimizing the pain. It isn't pretending that the wrongs done somehow don't make any difference, or that meant or not, the inevitable consequences of our actions can be avoided. Forgiveness is the hard, brave, bold, powerful decision not to let ourselves be defined by the pain, the hurt, the wickedness, the evil. As such, forgiveness is letting go of all hope for a different yesterday. It is a recognition that we cannot change the past. But unless we forgive those, including ourselves, who have made and perpetuated a past other than we hoped for, then neither can we move forward to the future that we can imagine. Deep in the human heart is a profound longing to know the reality of God's forgiveness. Frederick Buechner says that at its core, forgiveness is an act of radical self-interest. For we cannot truly give the gift of forgiveness to others until we have truly received it ourselves. Received it fully, honestly, deeply, and with great humility. This is not easy, but we know what happens without it. Our lives stay locked up in guilt and anger, and we and all those whom we love suffer along with us. Experiencing the reality of God's forgiveness brings a whole new orientation to life. Then, and only then, can we face the challenge of extending forgiveness to those who have wronged us. On this day, Jesus lay with his lacerated back on splintered wood and watched as a drunk Roman legionary with one hand held a nail against his wrist and with the other swung a mallet. In this moment of fear and pain, Jesus chose not darkness and anger, but the light which had guided his young life to this point. Light which would, in only 3 days, be shown to have triumphed over the darkness which sought so brutally to overcome it. Today, we have our own darkness and pain, that which we have hammered into ourselves, that which others have hammered us with, that which life has dealt us. In the midst of that darkness and pain, we have the choice to be forgiven and to forgive. I have never found this easy. I don't think I have ever met anyone who has. Yet, this is the way of the cross. This is the path of true relationship and love. May we have the grace to choose it. Ian Cowie wrote a poem called God Help Us. There is a time for asking questions, but there is also a day for decision. There is a time to discuss who Jesus is, but there is also a time to take up your cross and follow him. There is a time to weigh the issues carefully, but there are issues which will not wait until tomorrow. If we wait until we understand everything, we will wait forever. If we do not follow the light which we do see, we will receive no more light. If we, today, miss this opportunity, then God help us. Amen.